It's Football Friday, brought to you by Video Only, getting you ready for the football weekend.
Who's got it better than us?
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hog 'em up, Sikorsky.
And Brandon Sprague.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Football Friday on the Fan is brought to you by Video Only. If you don't, you'll be sorry. On 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Red 85, Fat Hot.
Happy Football Friday to you. It's been a fun show. We've been turning and burning. The Niners blow out the Rams in Australia. We talked a lot about that in the opening hour of the show. Cafe was all over the map. We previewed Oregon and Oklahoma State, Oregon State and Texas Tech, and the college football slate. One last missing ingredient, just that I forgot because I thought this one was funny. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to pay attention to this game unless it ends up being an upset, but it does have to do with your conference. San Diego State is playing at UCLA this weekend.
The Fighting Chesneys.
The Fighting Chesneys against the Fighting Lewises of San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what set this up. It's probably somehow out of context, but I don't care. Here is Sean Lewis at the press conference going into that game.
Plenty of experience where there's a galaxy of stars and talents on the other sideline, and I'll take me and mine against them. All their polos, all their khakis, all their resources, all that. Put the ball down. Let's go play.
Talk that ass. We don't care.
They handled Portland State last weekend. Let's see if they can do it against UCLA.
We don't care about your khakis, okay? You get your khakis out of here.
How many weeks does it take you to start looking at UCLA and go, all right, you have got my attention?
Guess the line on that game, by the way.
Is it in L.A.?
It's in L.A.
UCLA minus 14.5.
Close. 12.5.
Oh.
I would say, I don't know if I could do it until they get to Eugene, to be honest with you.
That's what I was kind of getting
at. So they get San Diego State, then they got Purdue at home, and then they play at Maryland.
Purdue looked pretty terrible, and Maryland played nobody.
So even if you're 4-0, they'll still be a bit of like, that's good for UCLA.
Can they bludgeon Purdue and Maryland to the point where
dominate them,
this is different?
If they dominate them, I think then your antennas go up of like, ooh, here comes Chesney's good-looking cap.
Their run game was really good, and Nico, you know, we might look back at Nico and say it actually worked out rather well for him.
Dude, guy went to a playoff in year one. He certainly was a fine quarterback. Lands at UCLA. They get the right coach. Yeah, man, it could.
Given everything that happened last year around that program, he ended up playing pretty okay.
Yes.
And then this year he's got a better coach, and so might end up having a nice little career in L.A. after the whole Tennessee fallout.
The last note of the college football weekend, I forgot to play that audio in the last segment. We will spread the lines, so get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. That is coming up 9:30 this morning. Without further ado, let's get to the National Football League. One last note from last night that I chuckled at the overreaction, potentially. Oh, dude.
You know, this one doesn't do it for me. Can I be honest about that?
What are you, a communist?
No.
Why don't you go to China? All right?
I mean, it's fine. It's just with no narration.
It's the oboes, man.
It loses its luster without the narration.
Are you anti-oboe?
No, I'm pro. Come on.
Oh, it's so good. Let's start before we preview the full weekend with how did this sound for 49er fans?
Third down and goal. Purdy under center. McCaffrey is the single back. Two tight ends to the right. Here's the snap. Purdy back. Throws back left side of the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown 49ers. And it's Mike Evans, his first in a San Francisco uniform. It increases the 49er lead to 16-7.
That was Westwood One Radio last night. Niners get the big win in the NFC West showdown between them and the Rams. The overreaction, and maybe it's fair, maybe it's not an overreaction, I don't know, but I did chuckle that. So going into the game last night, this was just on FanDuel, so I don't know where it was at every other gambling site. The Niners had the 12th best odds to win the Super Bowl going into the game last night, so coming into the season, 12th in the NFL. They win that game the way that they win it, and their odds skyrocketed to having the 5th best odds now to win the Super Bowl.
It's so good.
The number 9 team in all land upset the number 1 seed. How about that? We had an NFL upset yesterday.
We had an upset in the NFL.
Like I'm not shocked they won the game. It was more the fashion in which they did. But when you add the element of travel, you have to have the opinion today. Like, why are we still arguing about this?
Yeah.
You know, Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA, has been popping off all week about how the Rams are doing the right thing. The Rams are making the right decision. And people that are literally making the trek are like, dude, you don't understand the body clock stuff. Mike Evans didn't even know what day the Rams got in, was told, and goes, man, that's crazy. You got to give your body a couple days at least. But they were focused. They were dialed. The second half adjustments were great. They weren't allowing big first down runs for the Rams in the front seven. Their secondary played exceptionally well. They limited Stafford. I thought his passes looked like a tired guy at 37 years old. No big plays really outside of one pass to Puka and anything from Devontae. And then defensively, like Myles Garrett was a zero. And that's not something
literally
that's easy to happen, right? Yeah, Trent Williams was exceptional. Debo's back. He makes a big play. I thought the run balance with McCaffrey and Black was great. And Purdy looks like he's ready to deal. Mike Evans at 6'5 in the red zone. Like, I was texting another Niner fan, and I'm like, huh, isn't it great to have a 6'5 Hall of Fame wide receiver in the red zone? It's great. It's what this team has lacked in the Shanahan era. So, you know, I'm not going to have any grandiose takeaways.
No.
Shanahan's beaten McVay before. How the Rams handled it versus the Niners is certainly a conversation. But a nice start to their season where the Rams are going to come in now and have to have a rebound.
Let me ask you this quickly, and then we'll get to the rest of the slate because I'm curious which game we're most excited for going into the first Sunday. Have our thoughts at all in the last 48 hours changed about the NFC West?
No.
Okay. Swag?
No, not really. I mean, I picked the Seahawks. I still think.
You guys had Seattle. I had L.A. None of us took San Francisco to win the division.
You know, with the proviso that Darnold isn't going to be out the bulk of the season.
Yeah,
that
we
this
still don't
is
know
a
that, yeah.
2 to 3 week thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
That Niner defense, boy, if it stays healthy, that was the most impressive thing. I think I thought the offense with all those weapons and Kyle Shanahan's going to score points. I didn't expect the defense to be that dominant. Now, I don't know how much the Rams being crappy played into it.
Yeah.
But that 49er defensive performance, if all those guys stay on the field the bulk of the season, that's a problem.
Having Fred Warner back helps. What a shocking development that is. Pretty good football player.
Trey Greenlaw, Bosa.
Pretty good football player.
And then some good defensive line play in the middle as well. Overall, like the goal line stop was huge.
Huge, man. That was one in real time, too. I'm like, why are we not calling that a touchdown? And then they showed the replay, and I'm like,
he wasn't close.
No, I don't know if he got in. Bent backwards.
In real time, it looked like it was easily
in. Yeah, you just
in,
lost like, him in the pile and assumed it because the pile kept moving into the end zone. But
right. He wasn't in there.
They stopped
him. Imagine
them
being 37 and having all of those grown men twisting your body.
Yeah,
and
you get that play call.
Like, oh,
wait.
Can
what?
I ask you?
Were you sneaking?
Now that you bring that up, I'm glad. Tip of the cap to the NFL for at least doing something about it. Finally, we have had multiple tush pushes now in the first two games of the
we've
season.
We've had offensive offsides,
which we should.
Guards have been their hands have been too far forward.
Happened to Seattle last night,
yep.
And then it happened again in the game last or
call
two nights
on the
ago.
Eagles and get back to me. They
That's
are
fair.
The most egregious of it because they invented it, and it never gets called on them.
Totally fair. Let's get to the slate this weekend, man. You're all going to turn on. I'm going to literally wake up Sunday morning, whatever time I wake up, and just turn the Red Zone channel on and just have the music playing in the background for as long as I need to have it play. So I can't wait for that. You could go Bucks and Bengals. You could give me Ravens and Colts.
Yeah, those are two good ones.
Bears
to start.
And Panthers, a couple of playoff teams from last year, if you want to go that route.
Saints at Lions.
Bills, Texans.
Bills, Texans, Packers, and Vikings. I give you one. What's the game you're most excited to see because of the two teams that are, I know,
I
but
hate
it's,
that question.
Come on, pick out one.
The one that the one I'm most curious about, Buccaneers at Bengals. Are the Bengals, all the talk, all the chatter, Burrow, all that sort of stuff, can their defense get them an occasional stop? And the Buccaneers, at least on paper, I picked the Saints, so I'm going to be very curious what they look like at Detroit. But the Buccaneers, on paper, I think have the best roster in that division. How do they, you know, they were able to let Mike Evans go because they got Abuka and they got other guys, and Bucky Irving's healthy.
I don't think they wanted to let him go.
No,
I think he was like,
he just wanted, I mean, he thought he had a better chance to win in San Francisco than he did in Tampa.
They could, it wasn't like the wide receiver position is void.
No.
I'm really curious. And I think that one has the potential to be a crazy, stupid 35-33 shootout as much as the other games do.
I feel weird about betting overs week one because I don't know who's going to be the rusty.
That over is 50.5.
That's a lot of points, man.
It's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Jets and Titans over under is 38.
I mean, if we've seen anything.
38.5?
You want to jump on that one? You want to jump on that one?
That.
I mean, if we saw anything.
Salah's the defensive coordinator.
from those first two games, the defenses are, in fact, ahead of the offense.
Let me ask you this question to answer your question.
Yes, okay? Question with a question. I love it.
So we may not agree overall of these three, but I ask you this. Of these three options, from the 1 window to the 10 a.m. window for us locally, what gets the biggest reaction according to a loss and a win for a team? Is it in the Ravens-Colts game, the Bills at Texans, or Packers-Vikings? What gets the biggest national reaction if fill-in-the-blank loses and fill-in-the-blank wins?
If the Steelers beat the Packers, that will get the
Steelers aren't playing the Packers.
Oh, wait. Where did...
You mean the Vikings?
Oh, the Vikings.
I would actually answer the Minnesota Vikings. That was fantastic.
Sorry.
That was great. No, they're playing Atlanta, and we don't know who the quarterback. I mean, Cooper Rush is going to be the quarterback.
No, that does nothing.
If Atlanta beats Pittsburgh, that would be a pretty funny reaction with Cooper Rush. I will give you Vikings and Packers if the Vikings are to beat the Packers.
That's kind of think where I lean.
That's the one of like Kyler Murray's first game, all the attention on that and how it's going to look. The Packers have not been getting great headlines lately. Rodgers taking shots at his old coach.
Jacobs pleading yesterday.
Yeah. Like that whole thing kind of on the outside. And so I do think if Minnesota wins, the biggest national reaction will be, are they this year Seattle? Is that is that this year Sam Darnold of, hey, they just were a quarterback away, they got the right guy, and now all the pieces are there to go to win?
That's a totally logical response. The answer is actually a game I didn't list. If the Commanders beat Philly in Philly, oh my God.
You're missing one, though. You're missing one Sunday night.
Well, Sunday night, yes.
If you
certainly
get a dominant win on Sunday night, they run away with it and they light up the scoreboard in New York.
You mean the Giants beating the Cowboys?
I mean the other way around. Uh-oh. If the Cowboys beat the Giants and run away with the game.
I think it's a bigger deal if you flip that.
The Giants beat the Cowboys?
The Cowboys beating the Giants. Dak doesn't really lose to this team.
I know, but look, I'm on it this year, and it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek bit I'm doing just to piss you off. But also, like, if they win, you know what the national media will not stop talking about the Cowboys for a week if they look good on Sunday night.
Well, if they put up 40 points.
If they put up 40, the defense looks stout.
Grind out
away.
How about just a 27-13
game? Not this year, baby. Not for my Cowboys.
If they grind out a 24-10 win. No,
we got all of our weapons. Come on.
I think it's reverse. I think if the Giants with Harbaugh beat the Cowboys on Sunday night, it's a massive deal.
Yes.
Yeah, new head coach.
Here come the Giants. They made the right hire. Oh, I'm assuming Scadabo or Dart were good.
Right.
Neighbors, does Malik Neighbors come back
OBJ
and have a highlight
maybe,
reel catch?
Right. If the Cowboys beat the Giants.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, they're favorite.
That's just more cowboy noise.
I mean, it's got to be noisy. Yeah.
Yes.
Looking elsewhere around the slate, I'm going to save Kansas City Denver for Monday night because that's the Monday night game. I am very interested in that game.
Dolphins Raiders, shoot it into the moon.
If I give you the
what are we doing?
The dud games of the weekend to watch.
There's only four afternoon games, so that's going to be on your red zone screen more than it should.
That game's going to get shown way too much.
Yep.
Let's go now to Vegas where the Dolphins are at midfield, and I'm like, no,
no,
stop it,
turn it off.
Somehow the clock will get offset with that game, and the other three will all be like in a 2-minute warning or halftime.
What's our local standalone games that window?
Let me go.
Like probably is Commanders Chargers. Eagles on?
Probably Chargers.
So Chargers Cards and Commanders Eagles?
Probably.
I will split screen that, and then my iPad might be the red zone, which is weird because sometimes it's ahead or delayed from the main screen.
Yes, it always throws it off. I can't do that anymore because if the red zone's ahead of the game that you're
and
watching,
it usually
it just,
is ahead. And you're
come
like, well,
on,
now I know
man.
This could be a touchdown.
Here it comes, and there it is. Great.
But
thanks
I have no interest in seeing Dolphins Raiders like 90 times in the 1 o'clock.
Dolphins
window.
And Raiders or Jets and Titans. What would you rather watch this weekend?
Jets Titans.
Why?
Cam Ward.
Okay.
What am I getting with the Raiders?
What if Mendoza gets in?
Well, that means Kirk Cousins is dead.
Does he snap in half in the first quarter?
I mean, it's possible.
He might snap in half in the first quarter. Elsewhere around, I mean, it's just interesting, like, going into the year, there's so many unknowns, right? Week one, I love how irrationally confident I am in my picks for spring in the line because there's no scar tissue buildup yet. Every bet you see, you're like, dude, I love that. That's a lock. And I know I'm probably going to go 0-3. That's the fun of the gambling bit of the show. Is there a player, a team, a coach, a new face? Like, is there one that stands out that you're just most curious to see how it looks?
despite maybe the opponent?
I think it is Kyler Murray with...
Kyler Murray, Minnesota, is it for you?
With the Vikings and the quarterback whisperer.
I'm surprised you're not going with your team here, Swigard. First full game we get of the new McDaniel offense in L.A.
Yes, I very
against
much
the char-
am.
Or against the Cardinals.
I was trying to say, like, outside of your team.
Mm, okay.
I mean, I'm all in for that.
I am very curious to see how that looks and how explosive they look and how many shots are taken down. Like, that has been a huge offseason talking point, is
how
having him there
calling
plays.
For Fox? Why is Fox feeding us the Falcons Steelers?
Locally?
Yeah, locally. The Bills Texans will be on CBS. Falcons Steelers is the early game on Fox.
Do they think Mariota still plays for Atlanta?
I don't know. Packers, Vikings, and Commanders, Eagles are your afternoon pair.
Oh, okay. I was wrong on that.
I don't know why we get certain games in our windows that have no... I would just guess... There's actually a lot of Steeler fans
There's
here.
There's a ton of Steeler fans.
We have like six real team fan bases here that have watch party bars.
You better be careful what you say in there. Lowercase could come in there and chop you in the throat.
It's more
man.
About the Falcons.
You're
going
to get a yah to the jugular.
He definitely will come in if you say anything negative remotely about the Steelers.
Not gonna well
they're the
you.
Greatest team to ever exist. That being said, Kyler's a good one. I can't blame anybody for saying, see what Kyler looks like with Kevin O'Connell. And it by all the reading, it seems like this is kind of it for O'Connell, by the way, in Minnesota. That if this team is going to come up short.
Already fired the GM.
And I would argue, like, is there a lot of evidence? We talk about this guy like he's been to a Super Bowl, and he hasn't. So I think that's a really good one. I'm curious to see Minter in Baltimore, but my answer is going to be Sean Mannion in Philly. The offense, it has to look different. It has to look better. There's no buzz on the Commanders at all. And their run game was terrible last year. He might end up getting lucky the way Kellen Moore did of like, and I don't mean as a disrespect to take away, hey, it's the year the run game pops again.
Yeah, Barkley finds a way
to
make
it
going
again. You happen to be the OC, the line comes together, Barkley has a 1,700-yard season, and guess what's what that's going to do? It's going to open things up in the passing game, even if you don't love Jalen Hurts. It's going to make everything easier.
Wow. So, Fox had Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, New Orleans, Detroit, and the Bears and Panthers to choose from. They get Atlanta, Pittsburgh.
You talking about Fox 12?
Yeah, the local affiliate.
Do our local pick that, or is
I don't
that
know.
Given out to
I
a
thought
time
they
zone?
Got, I thought they got provided, like, a couple of options.
I'll text Krupke right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, ask Krupke how it works. Choose? Do they just get one game based on your area, or do they get, like,
hey, why
options?
Are we getting Atlanta?
Like, you can no have offense. This game or that game. I know you don't get all of them, but you can have this game or that game, and they pick.
Mm. Yeah, I think I would go Kyler Murray. I love the answer, too. There's a handful of them that you kind of forget about. I love the Manny and Philly one, dude. Yeah, the pressure that's on them. Commies in town. I don't really know what to expect from them this year. I will give the homer answer, though, and I know the game's probably going to suck. It's the overwhelming pick in week one of my survivor pool. Just like the McDaniel impact on the Chargers and what it looks like and how they function as an offense. What does the offensive line look like? Does, by the way, sound like Jeremiah Love will play in the game. Not that that makes it that much more compelling, but at least you get a look at a first-round pick.
Two dangerous receivers, too, man.
They do, and Brissett's pulled off upsets. And so, like, there's funky results that happen all the time in the NFL. Nothing's a guarantee of just that, to me, is it's such a big offseason move to go get that offensive mind to come in and call your plays. I think we were reminded again last night watching what a impactful play caller can do against good teams in the league. And I thought Kyle Shanahan was absolutely brilliant last night in his play calling and the way he orchestrated things. And so do we have a similar impact in LA? And do you finally have some of that starting to show itself with Herbert playing in a functioning offense? That's a big one for me this weekend. They should win the game. They're a 9.5-point favorite. We'll see if anybody wants to lay the wood on it. Mm-hmm. Just how does it look? How does the offense look? Big storyline for me, week one of the NFL season. Guess what, folks?
Oh,
it's here. It is here.
I got bubbles from Krupke right now.
We're getting bubbles.
He says, I asked if you get to choose locally for the windows. He said no, since the Hawks and Niners aren't on, they're getting the national Fox game.
Ah, okay.
That's the national Fox game in the morning?
I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers' last season. Are we doing a swan song thing for him?
It's the Steelers on Fox. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to grab the Steeler fan base for a game. Usually when they're at home, they're CBS.
Can't wait to see how the coach of the year two times does. He's such a great coach.
How are Steeler fans feeling if they lose to Cooper Rush?
I'm sure they'll defend it. Tell me how it's an acceptable loss and their team's still amazing.
It feels good to have the NFL back, doesn't it?
That's good shit right there.
Yes, yes it is, man. Let's spread the line. You guys ready? You got your picks locked in?
I still kind of want to talk about Josh Allen.
I know.
Or Joe Brady.
We didn't even really get to Buffalo and Houston. What are we doing?
Buffalo, Houston.
Some more thoughts on the NFL to wrap up the show. And maybe one of us will spring the line. Get your fake sponsors in. Last chance to do it. 503-864-6326. We'll spring the line coming up next on The Fam. Spraying the line.
Spraying the line.
Spraying the line.
Spraying
the line. Spraying the line brought to you by a Southerner trying to pronounce Oregon. They're still more likely to get it right than a Sprague pick.
I don't think after that word miscue, I can make fun of anybody for how they say anything. Yeah. I cannot say that word. I've never been able to say that word.
That's a tricky one.
In fact, I actively in my brain were like, don't say the word.
And then you said it.
Use round the clock. And I just dove in to say it only to expose that I can't do it.
Yeah.
Tirelessly.
I think I tried to jump in and help you, and I think even I screwed it
tirelessly.
Up.
Tirelessly.
Yeah, there's too many
it
lists.
It just
yeah.
looks weird to my brain.
Doesn't make sense. Sprinkle Lab brought to you by a certain chair in the corner of a hotel room. Unlike Aaron Rodgers not letting his fiance have one more go around, Sprague will sit and watch the sports books go to town on his bank accounts over and over and over again. Sprinkle Lab brought to you by a game sealing interception in the end zone between Seattle and New England. Karma, 12 years in the making.
I think it's really sexy.
That's a funny point. Didn't think about that. Sprague Live brought to you by George McCoy. Don't call Sprague or George. You're better off to call your mom for her picks.
I love meat.
Sprague Live brought to you by Game 7. Will Swag watch a Timbers 2 game this weekend or the Chargers?
Hooray.
He's definitely watching T2.
T2? They got a big one this weekend?
Never watched a T2 game.
You can't, you can't poo-poo it. After the game set, you cannot poo-poo the idea it might happen.
Spring Live brought to you by Dirt's Cowboy Jersey. The only thing missing is some Laker and Yankee gear. Is that the worst? Is there a worse combination? Is
than
that
like
it?
Cowboy, Yankee, Laker fan?
Is that the trifecta that we disrespect the most? Duke basketball for college?
Probably. I knew somebody in college that played for Oregon State, and he liked the Lakers, Duke, Cowboys.
Yeah, I just...
And if you told me he liked the Yankees, I wouldn't have been shocked at all. You know where he grew up? California. Make it make sense.
Sprague Live brought to you by Honey Bucket, because here, Honey Bucket, just like a Sprague pick, we know what to do with a steaming pile of poo.
Bring gas.
And one more in here, and we'll start making our picks. Sprague Live brought to you by The Big Dumper. What's higher, Cal's batting average this season or Sprague's winning percentage?
Mountain Mahas.
What is his batting average right now?
Well, I don't know.
120?
Still about 165.
Who's? The Big Dumper.
It's like 180.
I think he's batting recently? 180.
Yeah.
Here's what we got, ladies and gentlemen. A quick reminder of the records from last year. Brandon Sprague was your winner.
What?
36-30.
Wow.
In the face of the Spencers. I held off Swigard for a vicious battle for second place at 29-36-1.
Right in the butt.
And Jason Swigard, a record of 24-41-1.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
24-41-1. Sprague, a reminder, is already 0-0-1 on the week. Because 0-0-1 because he took the Seahawks minus the 3, and they pushed on Wednesday night.
Which I was totally cool with, because I'll take a push over, that extra loss.
Yeah, I mean, when they're driving, you think they can score a touchdown here. Game goes overtime. All of a sudden, that's up in the air. You take it. Give me a push, whatever. I'll take it.
They should have scored a touchdown if they went at a bad penalty.
So, based on the standings from last year, then the T-box goes to me, because Sprague already made his first pick. I will start on Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen. I figured if I'm going to go all in, I might as well go all in at the start of the year to the end of the year. What the hell, dude? I love the track record of the quarterback against the opponent. There's a lot of newness on the other side. I am taking all of the bait this year, as you can tell if you're watching on YouTube today. I am all over the Cowboys minus 3 Sunday Night Football in MetLife. Jason Swigard.
Let's see. We'll start bright and early Sunday morning.
Why is he going before me?
Because you already made a pick.
You already made a pick.
Oh, touche.
Yeah. You already got one on the board.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm all over the board.
Trying to keep it even.
Yeah, got to keep it even.
Yeah.
Got to have balance in the segment.
Sorry.
We're working tirelessly here.
You can say a word. You're cool.
I picked the Saints to win the NFC South, so I'm definitely going to take the 7 points in the opener against the Lions. Mm.
You need more dogs this year.
That's the only dog on the board I got this week. I'm laying some wood later.
We vow every year to
take more dogs.
Dogs,
and we don't take
and
dogs.
And we largely end up never taking dogs.
That's probably why I suck at gambling.
Speaking of dogs.
Saints plus +7. All right, Sprague, second pick for you.
Second pick for me.
Bark.
I will be barking. I don't know how big the bark is. Could be a medium-sized dog.
Is it a bow wow?
Could be.
Is it a woof?
I'm going to go into the season not really understanding the Vegas logic on the team. I think they're loaded on defense. I think their offense is fine. And they made an addition that I think is going to help. I don't love the Chiefs this year. I'm taking the Broncos on the road. This line's dropped to +2.5 Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked +3 a little better, but I'll take the +2.5. I'm going to wait till game day to see if it jumps back to 3. I'll be monitoring that all weekend, but I'll take Denver +2.5.
Well, that's a good synergy for the gambling picks. It was going to be my third pick, but I'll make it my second pick because I got the same thing. I already bet it, so if it goes up, I'm going to be kicking myself. I don't think it will. I think that line's only going to go one direction. And Denver, a little bit of regression maybe in one score games, like that can make sense to me as a season-wide conversation. But we're talking about the Chiefs in Mahomes' first game off of an ACL. A starting offensive lineman out. Denver's got a good pass rush. And I certainly don't think the Chiefs are dead, and I'm not doing the whole don't be scared of them at all anymore thing. You're giving me plus money with Denver, and Mahomes hasn't played a game since the ACL. I'm all over it, too. Broncos +2.5.
I might look at the alternate line here. I might make Denver a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
To see what those odds end up giving me.
Famous last words to gamble against Mahomes. Maybe he proves us wrong again, but I'm right there with you.
There are very few things that we can be confident about in the NFL going into week one. The Jags at home against the Browns might be the most confident.
It's a survivor pick for many.
It is
many
a survivor pick for me.
Yep.
I will lay the 8.5.
Wow. Big game hunting week one, huh?
Big numbers.
Dude, what if Deshaun... Never mind.
That won't happen. What if the Browns defense keeps them close?
I do
Dylan
like their
Gabriel
weapons. Actually, I think Taylen Green is next in line there.
That's true.
Yeah, Gabriel's out
now. He's on the IR because he's short.
He was too good in preseason, and they didn't want him to deal with the quarterback
controversy. I think I asked this. We determined Kevin Stefanski likes short left-handed quarterbacks.
If only I was a lefty, I could have played in the NFL for Kevin Stefanski.
Exactly.
Is Cooper Rush taller than Kevin Stefanski or level?
Probably taller.
Do we determine Stefanski's like 6'1"?
I think he's about 6'1", probably. Maybe 6'2 in shoes with the right insoles.
So if the Falcons just absolutely look inept, do they send
According to Google, he's 6'3", Cooper Rush is.
So almost eye level.
6'1.5".
Yeah.
I don't think he wants his quarterback 6'5".
When
him and Herbert can never work.
Sixth round draft pick going to be offered to the Browns for one Dylan Gabriel.
Come on down, baby.
I do like their weapons. Their quarterback play is...
Good luck.
Okay, last
pick for Sprager.
I'm going to go to one that I'm falling into a trap, potentially. America's game of the week. Cooper Rush.
Welcome
to the Steel City.
Speak of the
devil. Again, Steelers -5.5? Look, that's, a little more than a field goal. You might say that's a big bet. I think Pittsburgh at home. It's Rodgers last year. His vibes seem to be great. I think he's going in with no cares in the world. I like Mike McCarthy. I think they needed a shakeup. I would have gone a young coach route, but they're going with the Steel City guy himself. I will take the Steelers -5.5 against the Atlanta Falcons.
Last one for me. I will go to one of the more exciting games of Sunday. I like this team because they're at home. There's some injuries on the other side, and I'm certainly high on their upgrade at the quarterback position. Green Bay is coming into the game without a couple of starting offensive linemen, or at least are questionable to be able to play. The whole Josh Jacobs thing, will they be able to run the football? You got to figure that out early on in the season. I think the Vikings got a lot of good mojo. People are excited to see the Kyler Murray experience get off to a good start. And the Niner is out of sight, out of mind. Full steam ahead for Minnesota, -1.5 against Green Bay.
I'm going to go to the afternoon slate. The Chargers, I think they've been...
I was delayed. I couldn't find it.
It's all right. Where are they? Wait, what? Chargers, huh?
Yeah, the Bolts, Mike McDaniel, they've been holstering most of their stuff in the preseason. But we did see the one big bomb, the one play or the one drive that Herbert got. Johnston actually held on to the football. Omarion Hampton, they're going to unleash on the Cardinals. I don't know what they have defensively. They're still the Cardinals.
Their defense might be their strength, actually.
I will lay 9.5.
Lay 9.5. Couple of big woods for Jason T. Swigard. Right out of the gate, baby. Here are our picks. Sprague, your winner from last year. He got a tie on the Seahawks on Wednesday night, -3 against the Rams. He's also on the Broncos Monday night, +2.5 in Kansas City. And the Steelers, -5.5 against the Falcons. I am on the Cowboys, -3 against the Giants on Sunday night. The Vikings, -1.5 against the Packers Sunday afternoon. And also the Broncos, +2.5 in Kansas City on Monday. And Swag is taking the points with New Orleans and Detroit +7. Then he's laying the big wood on the Jags -8.5 against the Browns, or the Chargers -9.5.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The Cardinals. Gentlemen, Godspeed, good luck, and may the best man win.
Oh, man. Let's just hope this season.
There's no turds here.
There's got to be some turds. Not. I already felt the turds in my pants last night when I talked myself out of taking the 49ers on Spreaking the Line. And now I'm almost guaranteed to go 0-3. So I can't wait for that one. There we go. There's your first Spreaking the Line official edition of the football season. Some final thoughts on the slate in both college and the NFL. We'll wrap it up Football Friday next on The Fan. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend. Every single Friday, it hits a little bit different on a Football Friday. Joe Fisher trying to come in here during the break, tell me to take off my Cowboy jersey.
Eat your own butt.
Hey, this is our year, Joe. We don't need negative energy going into our Cowboy season this year. This is when the stars align. You know what Jerry Jones said today? You know what he gets when they play the Giants?
Nope.
He gets a little tingle.
It's a rivalry.
Do you get a tingle?
I got a tingle last night.
When was the last time you tingled? You tingled last night?
Yesterday was a sports erection for me.
Yeah.
Hey, the biggest talked about team all offseason, the just undefeated juggernaut.
Couldn't
dominate.
Squat.
Couldn't do anything.
What was your last tingle, Swigard?
Well, that's a. Should have had one, but didn't want to watch it.
La, la, la. Drip, drip, drip. Text at the fan text line. Swag, take talking Charger stuff bothers me. Well. Sounds hollow, especially after the Game 7 incidents. As an OG P1, I think he should surrender his NFL fandom for a few years. I feel like he put a ring on a rebound girl and is trying to talk himself into it. No, she's great, guys. She's great.
This is the one.
This is the
now
is when it counts.
Wow.
Shots fired. Shots
now,
fired.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, what do you got?
What would you personally think if he just steps to the mic and goes,
"This is Swag stepping to the mic?
You guys were right. I've had that flame in me the whole time.
I'll allow it."
To jump back on?
But there's a limited amount of time for him to do that. Like, it's running, because if I am right or others are right around the Cowboys this year.
Later, if they're like 8-0.
If they're 8-1 and he comes on the air and says, "You know what, guys,
thought a lot about it.
I've been thinking about this long and hard.
Jerry actually gave me more in my life than I could ever think.
Here's my Daryl Moose Johnston jersey that I never threw
away."
Joe
Walt has another season-ending knee injury.
Yes, later and all the route. Herbert's getting ripped in half again. Ooh. Like, all right. Do you see Harbaugh, by the way, told Michael Irvin on the they were doing a pregame hit. Michael Irvin interviewing Jim Harbaugh, by the way, is can't-miss television.
Well, Harbaugh had another all-time. I got to go back and find it. He had an all-timer at his press conference.
He said, "I'm not here for no cause, foreign
exactly.
or domestic, just yep. the L.A. Chargers, baby."
Exactly.
Did I place that yesterday in the cafe? Did we?
Oh, did we not get to that one?
That he was asked about the excitement of week one.
Yes.
And it's not the most amazing Harbaugh quote, but I know we have it in the system. I pulled it yesterday. I was going to get to it in the cafe.
He told Michael Irvin on the Netflix pregame show that when it's all said and done, Justin Herbert will be the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I mean, look, here's the thing about him. You talk about McDaniel. We could talk about Herbert.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't, I think, feel pressure because he doesn't operate in the same way. And I'll play the cut here in a second. This is a massive year for him.
Oh, yeah,
he is in the realm of, are you too old and is the game passed you by? Because I thought that would be a little better than
it has. I don't
know
what, I mean, other than having maybe a more dominant, consistent, reliable number one receiver, I don't know what else he wants.
Win a playoff game. Yeah. Like, you don't have to go to the Super Bowl.
That's the last one they're needing, yeah.
Win the playoff game. Here he was. He was asked, "Hey, Jim, your excitement level for week one?"
I think I'm ready to play, you know.
Ready to play.
There's so much build up to the start of the season, you know, the first game, the opener, and it's, you know, you're sitting on the spring ready for it now for weeks, and but then it finally comes, and then you're right into your battle rhythm, and the days and the weeks start going by like pages on a book. in the wind, you know. So you just get it started. Like that our team's, you know, ready to go.
Do you think he knows what he's saying, or does a word pop into his brain and he says
No.
I swear to God, he gets the neuralizer from Men in Black.
Oh, the memory eraser?
The minute he walks away out of practice or the meetings or whatever, it's press conference time. Somebody, zaps him, and he's just,
I just want, I'd love to sit in the same room with that guy for 30 minutes and just experience what is it like.
Listen to the cadence. It's you know. A book.
I don't know if 40 things are going through his mind at the same time.
Yeah, is it a scatterbrain thing? Is he just
blank and he's just,
Let me say, Swag's last tingle could have come when he had that Northwest salmon omelet.
It wasn't an omelet. It was a Benedict.
It was a Benedict. Come on.
Is that the salmon I caught for you?
No, we just enjoyed that. We just grilled that on the Traeger.
That was good salmon.
It was delightful.
It was good salmon.
Yeah, my mom's pissed. I didn't give her hers.
Ooh.
She waited forever.
Yeah, it's
so
on
I'm
you.
Well, you know what I got to do next? The next one on the list for me is going to be the sockeye.
Ooh,
I caught a coho. Need to catch a sockeye on the river.
CTE is a horrible thing. There's probably some.
Yeah, there is a little bit.
Why does he sound like he just finished a marathon? You know, it's he's really excited.
Weird how four of the color commentators that are on our broadcast are from two franchises. We had Keekly, and now we have the Cowboys. We've got Romo Aikman, and then we've got Olsen and Keekly.
That's a good point I didn't think about.
Why? Why those two?
What is it about them?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all fine, though, with their jobs. I thought Keekly was okay last night. Had he called a game before other than preseason
I think
stuff?
He had.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like I had heard him before, but maybe I'm misremembering that.
Yeah.
We got Collinsworth is with the Bengals.
Yeah, he was a Cincinnati guy. Well, it is the full weekend of football, man. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. A reminder, tomorrow, 9 a.m., is when the Oregon-Oklahoma State game kicks off. Pre-game show will start bright and early, 6 a.m. I know everybody will be awake listening at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
No laugh track.
My alarm
here.
Is set.
Be there, be square.
You weren't in a studio yesterday at 10:15 with Anthony Newman. No, that never happened.
I was not here till noon yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oregon, Oklahoma State. You got Oregon State, Texas Tech, 4:30 on CBS. You get Brian Kelly on the call of a Beaver game. Under the radar storyline of the weekend.
By the way, poll results on Brian Kelly being at the top of the cock.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Yesterday, that poll resulted in, 52.3% say he will be at the top of the cock tonight.
I'd say what up to him if he was.
And by the way, I did an off-air debate poll question between you and Meringue for some reason. One of the dumbest questions and back
yeah
and
I don't
forth.
Know how that came up yesterday. That was random, but I ended up going to bat for JJ McCarthy, which made me feel uncomfortable.
Which quarterback would you rather have starting for your team, Richardson or McCarthy? And Richardson blew out McCarthy.
Yeah, I just look, JJ McCarthy sucks. have we seen Anthony Richardson?
Come Monday, what delivered more for us in the weekend, the big college football that we all care about, or the
NFL? I hope there's some fun. ASU taking down A&M would be fun.
Be great.
Michigan getting drilled would be kind of fun to watch.
Or beating Oklahoma.
Or somehow, Ohio State, Texas hopefully lives up to the hype. But yeah, NFL slate looks pretty solid. That will do it for us, folks. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy all the football. We'll break it all down on Monday at 6 a.m. If you miss any of the show, go check the podcast. The plan is to have Josh Pate on the show Monday. TBD on that one.
Just say it.
We will see. Put it out into the universe. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you 6 a.m. Monday. The firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fam.